Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Today we have a rare treat, Ziegfeld Follies on the Air. It ran for 5 months in 1932, with Florenz Ziegfeld playing himself. Ziegfeld died a month after the series ended of lung disease in July 1932. In 1936, the Ziegfeld Variety Radio Show was revived, glamorizing Ziegfeld's memory and featuring his star, Fanny Brice, doing some of her sketch comedy and singing the songs that made her famous in Ziegfeld Follies. There is also the fictional story of Alice Moore, a stage-struck usherette who dreams of being in show business. Alice Moore's story is woven into the 1936 series, continuing from episode to episode. Today we have the one-hour show that started the 1936 run, and the only surviving recording of the run that we could find. Fanny Brice got such good reviews for her funny little kid character, Baby Schnooks, that it gave her career a fresh boost on radio. Ziegfeld Follies on the Air, first broadcast January 26, 1936 on CBS.
Presenting the Ziegfeld Follies of the Air, starring Fanny Brice and James Melton. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Ziegfeld Follies, presented tonight and every Saturday night by Colgate Palmolive Peach, to introduce you to Palmolive, the world's largest-selling beauty soap. The soap made with olive oil to keep skin young and lovely.
Opening night at the Follies tonight, and every one of you through the magic of radio has a seat. A seat to the greatest show on Broadway created 29 years ago by that master showman of America, Florenz Ziegfeld. The Ziegfeld Follies, cradle of the world's greatest entertainers. From this stage, the master showman Ziegfeld presented unknowns. Overnight, they became stars. Eddie Catter, the lovely Nora Bays, W.C. Fields, golden-voiced Ruth Etting, Gladys Glad, Marilyn Miller of the Twinkling Feet, Fanny Brice, the lovely dancer, Ann Pennington, the famous black-faced comedian and singer Bert Williams, Leon Errol, James Barton, and most loved of all, the late Will Rogers first gave out his homely American philosophy over the lights of the Ziegfeld stage. Do you wonder there's excitement in the air? It's another opening night, another opening of the greatest, the most extravagant, the most beautiful show on Broadway. Excitement out front, people clamoring for tickets, everyone heading for the Follies, excitement backstage, outside Fanny Brice's dressing room.
Tell Miss Brice it's me, James Melton.
Oh, come in, Jimmy. Sit down a minute, Jimmy.
Say, I'm all excited.
So am I. And scared.
I always get shivers up and down my spine before an opening night.
And tonight is more than just an opening night. Think of it, Jimmy. We're bringing the Ziegfeld Follies to every corner of the United States.
It's just got to be good.
You bet it has. 10 million people will be listening in. People in California, Omaha, Nebraska. Every person in the United States can hear our Ziegfeld Follies tonight.
Say, what are all those telegrams on the table?
Wires from all over the United States, Jimmy. Look, here's one from Billy Burke.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be listening into the Follies here in my Hollywood home, just as if I were there. Stop. Tom Olive is to be congratulated. Good luck.
Here's one from W.C. Fields. Thrilled to hear Flo Ziegfeld's Follies is being broadcast. I'll be with you by radio.
And look at this one from Marilyn Miller. I'll be with you as of old, though I'm thousands of miles away. Good luck.
Here's one from Ruth Etting.
And another from Leon
Murrow. And one from Gladys Glad.
Telegrams from Eddie Catter, from Ruth Etting, from W.C. Fields. Telegrams from every corner of the nation, from stars who will hear the Ziegfeld Follies of the Air in their own homes. Yes, and you too, in the comfort of your own easy chairs, can enjoy every scene. Laugh at the comedy of our feminine star, Fanny Brice. Thrill to the great songs of James Melton, our singing star. To the lovely voice of Patti Chapin, Broadway's newest sensation. To the music of Al Goodman's orchestra. To the dancing and singing of our famous Ziegfeld chorus. Yes, thrill to the Follies tonight, opening night, and the story behind the Follies. The story of Alice Moore, who wants to see her name in electric lights. The story of a girl who wants to become a star in the Follies. Let's follow her now as she walks down the alley to the entrance that leads backstage.
Alice.
Oh, Eddie. What are you doing here?
I just had to see you for a minute or two, so I came here. We haven't had much time together this last week or two.
Oh, I know, Eddie. I've been so busy getting ready for the Follies opening night that I really...
That's just what I wanted to come here to see you about, Alice. We're going to be married in 2 weeks, and I've come to ask you to give up this usher's job tonight.
Oh, but Eddie, I've told you it isn't just the usher's job. It's a means to an end.
What end?
Well, Eddie, you see those great big letters and electric lights with Fanny Bryce's name?
Mm-hmm.
Well, someday you're going to see my name up there. Mm. Alice Moore.
Oh, no, Alice, that really isn't what you want. You want a home.
Oh, of course.
Now, listen, dear, we're going to settle down and raise a family.
Oh, Eddie, I want those things, too, but first I've got to make a stab at this.
Oh.
I've got something inside of me that won't let me rest. I want to be somebody, Eddie.
So
when I walk down the street and I see electric lights with big names on them, something inside talks to me and says, Alice, that's going to be you someday. Someday, somehow, some way, I'm going to be famous, Eddie. I know it. Why, I can see.
Yes, but
oh, maybe you don't think so, but I know it. And I'm going to make the whole world know it. Oh, I'll make you so proud to have me as your wife.
You've made up your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And you won't quit this usher job tonight?
No, Eddie, I won't.
Alice, it isn't as if I didn't have enough money. I can support you.
Oh, it isn't you, Eddie. It's me. It's something inside that's bigger than me. Bigger than you two, Eddie. Bigger than both of us.
Oh, what?
Oh, there's no reason why we can't both work. After I get to the top, we'll have our family, Eddie. But first, I want to...
You're sure this is the thing you want?
I'm sure, Eddie.
More than you want me?
What do you mean?
I mean, unless you quit your job tonight and give up this foolish stage idea, the wedding is off. We're through.
You mean if I don't quit tonight, you don't want to marry me?
That's right. It's one thing or the other. No wife of mine will work along Broadway in this theater atmosphere.
But Eddie, you don't understand why it's only
to begin... Oh, that's final, and I want your answer now, Alice. Now.
Now?
Yes, now.
Well, Eddie, maybe I'm a fool, but I'm hitching my wagon to a star. I've got to go through with this, no matter what the consequences.
That's final?
Oh, Eddie, I...
Is that final?
Yes.
Then goodbye, Alice.
Eddie, I'm sorry. Please understand.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So Alice Moore chooses between marriage and a dream. Now she enters the theater to take her place at the head of aisle 2, thick and span in her braided Follies theater uniform. What will the Follies opening mean to her? The feeling of suspense, of tension is in the air. It affects everyone in the theater, actors, stars, writers, musicians, stagehands, ushers. Yes, and of course it affects Alice Moore. In this theater lie her dreams, dreams of success, of glamour, dreams of stardom. We follow her as she takes her place at the head of aisle 2 in the Follies theater.
Second aisle over, that's right.
Irene, let me have some of those programs. Mine are all gone.
Hey, what do you do, Alice Eden?
No, my section's about all full already.
See, they could fill the theater 5 times tonight, huh? May I see your tickets, please? First stairway to the left. See, some people are dumb. They got balcony written on the ticket. What's the matter, Alice? You're awful pale. Don't you feel well?
I just broke up with Eddie.
What? After going with a boy for 2 years? Say, you crazy.
Maybe.
Listen, Alice, all I can say is think twice before you walk out on a good guy.
Say, Irene, would you do something for me?
Maybe. What is it?
Give this note to Fanny Bryce.
A note? Why don't you give it to her yourself?
Oh, I haven't the nerve.
What?
I want her to hear me sing. I wrote it about a week ago, and...
Oh, just give it to her, will you, please?
Oh, stay struck.
Sure, I'll give it to her.
Do it now. Maybe she'll see me after the first act.
Yeah, maybe.
The lights are dimming. You could go backstage now.
12 chance. You know Fanny Bryce is as nervous as a cat before the curtain goes up.
I told you, I'd get it.
Before the first act's over?
Well, where are you going?
Backstage.
Well, give her that letter, will you?
That's what I'm doing.
A letter to Fanny Bryce. A letter and a prayer. It is the moment of moments. Out front in the boxes, Lady and Ermine, Gentlemen and Tails, in the orchestra seats, in the balconies, in the ball-headed row, people eagerly awaiting the opening of the new 1936 Follies. Out of the door in the orchestra pit comes a keen-looking man in white tie and tails. He steps onto the conductor's stand. It's Al Goodman. He takes the bow. He's opening his 110th show. He smiles to his wife in the seat behind him. Up goes the baton, and the overture begins. The 1936 Follies has begun. Why not?
Because 5 and 5 make 10.
Miss Jones, your arithmetic is bad. I'm going to give you a lesson. Now listen very carefully. If I lay 1 egg over here, and if I lay 2 eggs over here...
Oh, Professor, I don't believe you can do it.
Mrs. Ziegfeld always said, if a showman used his head, he'd present the finest tenor he could find. And that brings us in view. So, we're representing the Melton who calls himself James, a tenor our audience always acclaims. For theme number two is a song that beguiles. Yours is my heart alone from the land of smiles. James Melton!
For laughter. Be ready to chuckle. Hang on to that rafter. This lady is worth it, whatever the price is. There's no one as funny as what Fanny Bryce is. Now, scene number three is as much fun as it looks, for here's famed Fanny Bryce and Miss Baby Snook. Miss Bryce!
Heavens, this room is an awful mess. Look! Look! Look!
Yes, Daddy?
Come here at once.
I am, Daddy.
Why didn't you come when I called you?
I didn't hear you the first two times.
Snooks, look at the mess in this parlor. Well, the vase is broken, ink on the carpet, the window is smashed. Did you do this?
No.
Don't look down at your feet, Snooks. Look in my face when you answer me. Who made this mess?
Nursery done it, Daddy.
Why, Snooks, you know Nursie is off today.
Yeah, but she came back undone it. I seen her, Daddy.
You did, eh? Well, why is your dress covered with the same ink?
She spilled ink on me, too, Daddy.
Snooks, you know that Nursie went out of town this morning to visit her sick sister. She couldn't possibly have come back.
I forgot. She done it yesterday.
Yesterday, this room was in perfect shape. Now, Snooks, tell me the truth. How did this happen? Why did you break that vase?
I had to do it, Daddy.
You had to? Why?
On account of the three rattlesnakes.
What three rattlesnakes?
What did you say, Daddy?
You said you had to break the vase on the count of three rattlesnakes.
Yeah, Daddy. They came into the parlor and I killed them.
Snooks, you know you're not telling the truth.
Well, maybe it was only two rattlesnakes and a cake of palm olive soap.
Now, how do you expect me to believe a story like that? There couldn't possibly be any rattlesnakes in the parlor.
Yes, there was, Daddy. There was one in here, and I killed him.
There isn't a rattlesnake in this whole part of the country.
Well, it was an awful big worm.
A worm in the parlor. Show me the worm.
I can't.
Why not?
The eagle ate it up.
What eagle?
The eagle that knocked over the bottle of ink.
Now listen, Snook, I've had enough of this. I want you to tell me the truth. If you tell me the truth, I won't punish you. Now promise me you won't fib anymore.
All right, Daddy.
Now what happened?
Well, I took off the ink bottle to write a letter.
Yes.
And a big lion jumped in through the window and scared me.
A lion jumped through the window?
Yeah, that's how the window got broke.
I see. Well, if a lion jumped through the window, why didn't the pieces of glass fall on the outside?
Well, the lion jumped in backwards.
Go on.
So I ran into the other corner, and there was four lions. And they all jumped on me, Daddy.
And then what happened?
I got killed.
How could you tell me such stories about lions? You know you never even saw a lion.
I did. Oh, Daddy.
Where did you see a lion?
Mrs. Smith has one next door. And that's the lion that came in.
Mrs. Smith has a lion? You know very well that's nothing but a little yellow dog. Now I want you to kneel down and pray for forgiveness for telling so many fibs.
All right.
That's it. Now you pray to the Lord to make you an honest child.
All right. I pray to the Lord.
That's a good girl.
I'm finished, Daddy.
Mm-hmm. Did you pray?
Yes, Daddy. And the Lord said, I forgive you, Miss Snook. The first time I looked at that yellow dog, I thought he was a lion, too.
At any rate, I can tell the ladies and gentlemen in the audience something about you glorified American girls that they see on the stage.
But, Mr. King, be discreet. After all, we have to eat.
Oh, I'll be discreet, I promise. They are beautiful, aren't they, ladies and gentlemen? Gloriously beautiful. You bet they are. And if it's the modern girl's duty to be beautiful, I think they performed their duty well. Which brings me to the real reason why I'm appearing on the Follies stage tonight. These girls use the beauty soap I'm going to talk to you about, Palmolive soap. And I'm sure it has helped in their glorification. That's right, isn't it, girls?
Thank you, Mr. King.
What's the average age of you glorified girls?
You promised, sir, to be discreet. Our years and days we won't repeat.
That's right, I did promise discretion. But the fact of the matter is, friends, that while these girls are young, some of them are not quite so young as they look. They all do look young, very young. Not one of them looks to be out of her late teens. Why? Because of the care they give their skin. As I said, they use Palmolive soap, the famous beauty soap made with olive and palm oils. Now, if you will use Palmolive soap as they do, you will keep the skin young, fresh-looking, lovely, or recapture its old youthfulness and beauty. Let me tell you why. Nature gives the skin certain oils, youth oils, whose work it is to keep the skin soft, smooth, young. Without them, the skin becomes dry, rough, and old-looking. Made with olive oil, Palmolive soap protects these youth oils of the skin. And that's how the smooth, gentle lather of Palmolive can take years from the appearance of your skin. Palmolive soap has helped to glorify these girls here, and millions of others all over the world. And Palmolive soap can help you to have a lovelier, fresher, more gloriously youthful skin. Then, don't you think it would be well worth your while to try Palmolive? To begin using it regularly and exclusively tomorrow, and quickly bring added glamour and youth to your skin.
That's the kind of good advice that leads to wedding bells and lights. And that brings us into you. So, to keep you all happy, we always contrive. We think you'll find laughter in scene number 5.
It's a song,
yes.
A dance,
yes.
And a story of romance.
Ooh.
You'll be delighted.
And attentive.
And it's there.
The bride comes home to title, meaning that is what it's called. Al Goodman. The honeymoon is over, and every costly notion, the bride feels such emotion, has seen the town again. When the bride comes home, and she tells her friends the trip abroad was so glorious. For the honeymoon is places that were notorious. But whenever their routine became too laborious, they started taking time off for love. And in their first little quarrel, he laid down the law while she had her say. He runs right back to mother, but finds that her mother has moved away, and there's no place to go. So the bride comes home. So at times they find their hobbies are so diversified. They agree it's nice to stay home by the fireside. After all, she knows the duty of every blessing man. That's why she's taking time out for love.
Between the girl and boy, we'll call the lady Jean, a charming girl and poet. The lad's a different ilk. His name is Elmer Hicks, and cows he used to milk. You see, he's from the sticks. Where's Elmer?
Here'll be. Out for a good time if it cost me 50 cents.
Where's Elmer?
Oh, God darn if it ain't the gal looking for me.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Hicks.
Mr. Hicks, are you a married man?
No, but my pa was.
Oh, you sweet man. I'm going to kiss you.
Huh?
Where's Elmer?
And do you, Miss Jones, take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?
I do.
And do you, Mr. Hicks, take this young woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
Where's Elmer?
Good to see our son Elmer married off to a nice gal home on the front.
Yes, Pa. The wedding ceremony today was right lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Ma. Them kids sure must have been tired after the wedding. They're tired as soon as they get home. Probably fast asleep by now.
Yes, Pa.
Mr. Hicks.
Well, if it ain't my new daughter-in-law. Thought you'd be fast asleep by now. What's ailing him?
Where's Elmer?
Then you greet each night to say you won't by the park. After all, she knows the duty of every lucky man. That's why she's taking time out for dawn.
Been asked to settle a bet. Would you like to hear a duet?
Well,
we are here again. We hear Midnight in Paris with Voices That Mix. We titled this chapter as Scene Number 6, Patty and Jimmy.
Sweet is the madness of midnight in Paris, Jimmy. Heart, our young love is free. Won't you share it with me? To your l'amour, the hearts are in danger at midnight in Paris. Tell me, what to be is to be. Won't you share love with me?
The moon is gold, my heart is cold, a throbbing voice within me calls, and I must obey. Midnight in Paris, a strange delight steals through the night. I hear the sweetest music, and oh, what does it say? Midnight in Paris live, romance and love. Sweet is the madness of midnight in Paris, chérie. Heart, our young love is free. Won't you share it with me? L'amour, l'amour. The hearts are in danger at midnight in Paris, chérie. What to be is to be. Won't you share it with me?
It is the madness of midnight in Paris. Believe the very heart by young love. The love is free. Won't you share it with me?
L'amour, l'amour,
oh, heart,
act is over. The audience is wearing its hands out with applause. Al Goodman turns and his wife reaches out from her first row seat and clasps his hand. Backstage, everyone is gathered around Fanny Bryce. Everyone. James Melton in white tie and tails. Patty Chapin in silver sequins. The glorified chorus girls in their midinet costumes from the finale. Stage hands in shirt sleeves and suspenders. They're all talking.
Congratulations, Fanny. I thought you were swell.
Oh, how about yourself, Jimmy? Hawkins to you.
Thank you, Fanny. I hope so.
Say, who is that little girl walking towards Miss Bryce's room?
Huh? Oh, I don't know her name. What are the ushers out front?
Good looking, kid.
Oh, finally.
Say, don't you think we have enough to do to strike this set without you coming around here?
Well, I'm just going to Miss Bryce's room.
Why don't you stay in your own side of the tent?
Joe.
Yeah?
Joe, where's Miss Bryce's room?
She don't want like business between acts.
Oh, she's expecting me.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. Where is it, Joe?
Right in front of you. Don't you see the big star placard on the door?
Oh, thanks.
Look out. You want to kill yourself? Knock first. Don't walk in. She's changing her costume.
All right. It's me.
Yes?
I want to see Miss Bryce.
She can't see nobody now. If you got a message from the front, I'll take it.
Who is it, Jenny?
One of the ushers from the front.
Alice Moore, tell her.
Alice Moore, Miss Bryce.
Oh, tell her I'm sorry. I can't see anybody now. Tell her I'll see her for a few minutes after the show.
Miss Bryce says she'll see you after the show.
Oh, thanks. Did she get my letter?
Yes, I think she did.
Thanks. I'll be back right after the next act.
In just a few moments, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in the Follies Theater for the second act. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. WABC, New York. Presenting the Ziegfeld Follies with Fanny Bryce, James Melton, Patty Chapin, Al Goodman's orchestra, and the Ziegfeld Chorus, glorifying the American girl. This production is presented to you by Palmolive Soap. Use it for your complexion, for your bath, for shampooing your hair. As you see a fresh glow in your skin, as you notice a new and youthful glamour in your complexion, you will realize why it is that Palmolive is the preferred toilet soap the world over. And now, on with the show.
And the sailors and the ushers all have said, there's nothing like a uniform to turn a lady's head. And that brings us in view. So, the boys will march as stiff as starch to start our second act. And as they sing, your ears will ring with joy you may have lacked. The changing of the guard is what we've understood. It's scene number 7, and it's uniformly good. Forward march!
There you see the changing of the guard. Stand they be within the palace yard. And if you please to enter, fail to press your noses to the rail, then march from there.
The changing of the guard.
Come along, come along, come along. There you see the changing of the guard. And stand they be and stand within the palace yard. I'll touch your fine and mop on every hand. You'll have to cover where it commands. Behold, behold, the changing of the guard.
Have you been to London?
Never been to London.
When you come to London,
oh, tell us what we must do.
Walk down the street, take in the treat.
For there's the usual thing.
And if you're south of keen on houses, why not show him the king? Go down the lodge of some you have had. The royal standard in the breeze will tell you if their majesties are there to watch the changing of the guard.
Come along, come along, there you see the changing of the guard. And then they
being abandoned in the palace camp. They march away the ceremonial ends, and don't forget to tell all your friends you came. You came. The changing of the good.
There's humor, but heavens above. For real satisfaction, there's nothing like love. And that brings us in view. So, Patty Chapin has decided you should know love's so-called bliss. And we can hardly wait for scene number 8. It's dangerous to love like this. Patty Chapin.
Heart's overjoyed, even though I'm destroyed with a love like this. Tonight I love you, so it frightens me. For every kiss you give enlightens me. I feel this danger in everything you do. When I am close to you, your eyes have warned me, it's dangerous to love like this. Every glance means beware of the thrill that we share in this hour so heavenly. Your lips have warned me, it's dangerous to love like this. Every kiss in the dark is igniting the spark that is burning inside of me. And your caress is so tender, I'm afraid I'll surrender my very life to you. Your arms have warned me, it's dangerous to love like this. But my heart's overjoyed, even though I'm destroyed with a love like this.
Found, there's one we hope will always hang around, and she is here again. Palm Olive presents an extravagant comic, for you can't save on laughter, so why be economic? We think you've guessed who we're referring to, our favorite star, Miss Fanny Bryce, to you. C9's an agency for planning Cupid's dart, a place where marriages are planned. Fanny plays two parts, Miss Bryce.
Come in. Ah, Mrs. Jones. Well, what can I do for you?
Hello, Mr. Bell. I'm looking for a husband.
Why, Mrs. Schultz, I furnished you with a husband last week.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for.
Well, say, I remember when you and Mr. Schultz got caught in the revolving door. Was that the first time you met?
No, but that's when we started going around together.
Well, Mrs. Schultz, I've got just the man for you. A wealthy widower.
A wealthy widower?
Yes, and he'll treat you right. He'll give you a party. And before you're married, he'll give you a shower.
A shower?
Yes, and I'll come to that shower. Tell me, what shall I bring?
You bring the palm olive soap.
Miss Bryce in a different pose, as back in the bureau she goes. All rising.
Ah, the top of the morning to you, Mr. Burns. I'm a poor, witty woman, and it's looking for a husband I am.
Well, I'll try to accommodate you, Mrs. O'Reilly. Tell me, did you get along with your last husband?
Sure, we lived like a couple of loafers. Of course, once in a while, O'Reilly would get drunk and bait me up. And occasionally I'd lose me temper and crown him with a rolling pin. But never once did he have to call in the police.
Did he ever strike your children?
No, only in self-defense. They was good to me and the children, poor mice.
Tell me, did he ever come home and throw his arms around you?
Sometimes before I could even strike a blow.
Well, I've got a fine man here for you, but he wants a wife who's a good cook. What's your favorite dish?
With Mike, it was the heaviest one I could lay my hands on.
Who was your husband before O'Reilly?
He was a man by the name of Quinn.
Well, that's a good old Irish name, Quinn. Did he spell it Q-U-I-N-N?
No, he wasn't Irish. His name was Quinn. C-O-H-E-N, Quinn. But I really didn't step out here in front of the curtain to accept applause. No, indeed, not that I don't like it. I love it. But I really came out to tell you a little something about scene number 10. You know, I've been in the Follies through 18 years. I've watched youngsters come in unknown and almost overnight become stars. Seen them come and I've seen them go. And what memories? Memories of great performers. My friends Eddie Cantor, W.C. Fields, Marilyn Miller, Ruth Etting, Gilda Gray. Oh, I could name them on and on for hours. And tonight, as we launch this new Ziegfeld Follies of 1936, we've worked out a Follies review to bring back some of those memories. Memories of other performances when Flo Ziegfeld glorified the American girl. The producers have asked me to introduce this review to you. So, Al Goodman, if you're ready, bring up the curtain. When under a full harvest moon shining bright, sat Miss Nora Baines and her lover one night, back in 1908, twas a wonderful sight.
Shine on, shine on, harvest moon, up in the sky. I ain't had no numbing since April, January, June, or July. No time, ain't no time to stay out for them soon. Oh, shine on, shine on, harvest moon, for me and my gal.
Remember our friend with the googly eyes? The last year of the war, he gave us a surprise when Cantor sang this. The applause you'll surmise.
Green the eyes, and every time she sighs, you forget your family. The other evening in a cabaret we spent, when I saw the check, I thought it was the rent. But when the waiter came, she simply signed her name. That's the kind of a baby for me.
Oh, oh, wonderful day.
When John Steele sang this song, the girls all would be. It's since been selected as Flo Ziegfeld's theme. After 17 years, the song still is supreme.
A pretty dames, just like the train of a haughty refrain. He'll stop on a marathon and run around your brain. You can't escape. He's in your memory by morning light and noon. He will leave you and then come back again. A pretty girl is just like a pretty.
When Gallagher and Sheen made the audiences roar, till all held their sides, which by then were sore, they applauded them back, calling more, more, and more.
Oh, Mr. Gallagher. Oh, Mr. Gallagher.
Hello, what's on your mind this morning, Mr. Sheen?
Cost of living went so high that it's cheaper now to die. Positively, Mr. Gallagher.
Absolutely, Mr. Sheen.
I'll never forget Sonny Marilyn Miller. And she was so good. Well, just add to Biller in a girl's minstrel show that was surely a thriller.
Five-gallon hat looking picturesque and quaint, slowly heading westward on a pinto known as Paint.
With the chorus air surrounding him, we find our James Prairie and close our Ziegfeld Follies with the ditty of the prairie, James Nelson.
I'm a roving cowboy far away from home. Far from the prairie where I used to roam, where the dog is a wonder and the wind blows free. Oh, my heart is yonder by the long prairie. Oh, carry me back to the long prairie, where the coyote howl and the wind blows free. And when I die, you can bury me neath the western sky on the lone prairie. I'm heading for the throne.
weary me. Neath the western sky on the lone prairie. Hi-yo!
The people who are gone to gather into the theater scatter. Backstage, the chorus girls are getting ready to scatter, too. They're in their dressing room taking off makeup, carefully hanging up colorful costumes. They're talking.
I can hardly wait.
I've got to wire my mother right now.
Now I can buy that darling evening wrap I saw in Saks the other day. Here comes Henry Disdain.
Who's he?
Don't you know? He's the greatest makeup expert in the world.
Well, hello, girls. Say, I wanted to tell you, that makeup looked great tonight.
It did?
It certainly did.
Well, it comes off nicely, too, Mr. Disdain.
Well, that's good news, because I recommended a supply of palm olive soap for you girls to use when removing
it. Did you recommend palm olive soap for our showers, too, Mr. Disdain?
Yes, I did.
Good for you. It's the best soap for bathing I've ever used, and it's not one of those strong-smelling soaps, either.
Right. You know, it's a funny thing, but many people seem to think they've got to use a strong-smelling soap for the bath. They're afraid that otherwise they won't be... well, won't really feel clean. You know, if I were one of you girls out there in the front line, I wouldn't use anything but palm olive, either for your faces or your bathing. You want to keep young looking. And you don't want some hard-boiled stage manager to say to you someday, "Say, babe, you're getting too old for the folly." When you're only 26 years old, palm olive helps to keep your skin young. Well, girls, good night.
Good night.
Congratulations and have a swell time at your party.
Thanks.
Good night.
They're off to the party. They're off to gaiety. But Alice Moore, what of Alice Moore, the little usher? She's going backstage to talk with Fanny Bryce. And for Alice Moore, that's the greatest event in her young life. We'll follow her backstage.
Oh, come right in.
Thank you.
Janie, come on, hook this thing for me.
I'm coming.
Sit down, Mr.
Moore. Alice Moore.
Oh, yes. Get the shoulder strap straight, Janie.
Yes.
I read your note, Alice.
Did you, Miss Bryce? It was awfully nice of you to read it. If you noticed the date on it, I wrote it about 10 days ago.
Did you? My slippers, Janie. Just there.
Well, if you're too busy, I can come back some other time.
Oh, it's all right. You think you can sing? Is that what's bothering you?
Yes, Miss Bryce, I can do every one of your songs. Every single one of them. Not as good as you do them, of course, but...
Oh, don't do imitations. Do something of your own. Be yourself. Nobody gets very far copying. That's what imitations are. My other slipper, Janie.
Yes, sir. Well, I can do things of my own, too, Miss Bryce.
You can?
Uh-huh.
That was a long letter you wrote me, Alice.
That's just how I feel, Miss Bryce. Maybe they're just cold words written in ink to you, but every word I wrote came right from inside of me. Oh, you must have felt once what I'm feeling now.
I guess I did. But I wish I'd had somebody to tell me what I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
If you had the talent of 10 Fanny Bryces, I'd say, stay away from it.
Oh.
Someday when you've married a nice boy and you have a lovely family, you'll come back and thank me.
Oh, I won't. I know I won't. You love what you're doing. You couldn't do it if you didn't, Miss Bryce. I'm only asking you to help me.
Some people to see you, Miss Bryce.
In a minute. My dress, Jenny.
Yes. Will you? Well, won't you just let me sing for you sometime?
Don't tell me those are real tears.
Well, I only wanted you to hear me.
And if I tell you that... that you haven't anything, will you give it up?
No.
No?
No, I won't.
Well, you got something. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
Miss Bryce, some people to see you.
Tell them to come in.
And I guess that's my exit cue.
Right now it is. But I've got an entrance line for you, too, Alice.
Oh, Miss Bryce, that's grand.
Here's a pencil. Take it down.
Butterfield 78492.
Mm-hmm.
Call me up tomorrow morning at 11. Now I want to hear you. Butterfield 78492, got it?
8492. Oh, yes.
Don't lose it.
Don't worry, Miss Bryce. I won't.
Alice Moore holding tight to a slip of paper with Fanny Bryce's telephone number written on it and a promise of an audition leaves the Folly Theater happy, a song in her heart. She has looks, ambition, she has courage. What is her destiny? Is it linked up with the Follies we heard tonight? Is it linked up with Fanny Bryce, James Melton, and Patty Chapin? We'll see. We'll see. We'll be here next week for the second edition of the Ziegfeld Follies of the Air with the greatest, the most popular hits of Broadway today and yesterday. The Ziegfeld Follies of the Air. Don't miss it. Don't miss the story behind the scenes, the story of pretty Alice Moore. Music, drama, comedy, and thrills next week in the Ziegfeld Follies. It's a date with your radio. And if you live in New York or are coming to New York, don't miss seeing the Ziegfeld Follies in person at the Winter Garden Theater.
As you listen to the Follies tonight, friends, we hope that you paid careful attention to what we've had to say about Palmolive soap. We hope, too, that no later than Monday you will act upon these suggestions. We'll get just 3 cakes of Palmolive from your dealer. See for yourself the wonders it can work in bringing new smoothness, new beauty to your skin. And now, until next Saturday night, Palmolive bids you good night. Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.